Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you want to watch me struggle with my camera every day, you can also watch the show on Civic Media's YouTube channel, as well as at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram and Facebook. We'll get it working here. I got a fine guest co-host with me. His name is Matt Rothschild. He operates and runs and produces the content on a fabulous podcast called Wisconsin Forward. You can find that at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. I wanted to talk about the fact that Enrico Tarrio apparently was introduced and spoke with the president on Saturday night. Remember, Enrico Tarrio, leader of the Proud Boys, was sentenced to 22 years for his involvement, frankly, his meaningful running, coordination, what would we call it? Leadership of the January 6th riots, sentenced to 22 years in prison and received a pardon from the president. He was at Mar-a-Lago with his mother, Zuni Duarte. Hey, interesting. And here is what he said was exchanged between Mr. Tarrio and the president. Here's what he said, quote, this is Tarrio speaking. He, meaning Trump, knew the hardships me and my family faced for three long years. He knew how many times they moved me. He said he is working on making things right. I thanked him for giving me my life back. Trump replied with, I love you guys. What do you think about the Donald Trump saying he loves you guys in reference to the guy that whipped up an angry mob to beat the crap out of police officers?
You know, it's disgusting and disgraceful, but not surprising. I mean, this is the same guy who said, I love you to the protesters, to the, not the protesters, the rioters, the insurrectionists on January 6th. And he's the guy who pardoned them all. So, you know, it's been a love fest from the very beginning. So it's not shocking that he's saying, I love you guys, but it is appalling. I mean, the amazing thing to me, for future historians and future U.S. citizens or anyone in the world looking back at what happened in the United States over the last 5 years, 10 years, they're going to look back at this and say, how the hell did the American people reelect this guy after January 6th? And still you have Trump saying, pouring love, giving flowers to all the January 6th rioters. Here you have him still, including yesterday, at Meet the Press, saying the election was rigged against him when he lost in 2020. I mean, it's straight out of George Orwell. It's straight out of 2 + 2 = 5. But that's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, it is very, very scary times these. Kurt from Madison, you're on the air. Say hello to Matt. What do you got for us?
Hi, Matt. Say, with hey, the last caller, I'm not here to peen on him. This is a message to anybody that feels like he does or she feels like he does. I sit in the luxury seat of being in my 60s and served in the military. Freedom is not free. Maybe we don't teach it well enough. The minute, you know, the great line from Dune, fear is the mind killer. You are in a position as those of us who served, even though you didn't serve, to do the same thing. And one of those things you do is you protest. You fight what is right based on our livelihood, our constitution, and the welfare for every man, woman, and child in this country. You cannot be an island. Don't go down that road. Just don't do it because it'll consume you.
Thanks so much, Kurt. An incredibly important message there. And I think it also needs to be contextualized with what you said, Matt, which is, listen, if you are an immigrant, if you are an LGBTQIA plus community member, please be mindful of your literal safety. But I'm going to look at those of us, white folks, people that have platform, people that may not be looking down the double barrel of economic insecurity. It's those people who now have, I would argue, a moral imperative to stand up and be heard. My 80-year-old parents have been to two protests. 80-plus-year-old parents have been to two protests. My dad always says, this stuff isn't going to come back on me. I'm a retired, you know, 82-year-old white guy living in Milwaukee and Tucson, Arizona. I'm standing up for everybody else who can't be here because it might be unsafe for them to be here.
Right. I want to thank Kurt for the call, too, yeah. Maggie, and say it's invigorating to go to these protests. It's inspiring. You recharge your batteries. My wife and I went to the immigrant rights rally in Madison on Friday. There was a huge one in Milwaukee on Thursday. Yes. And it's tremendously inspiring to be there. We were at a previous one in Madison where the signs and the costumes were hilarious and creative. And that kind of energy we need. I mean, I've been studying what happened to Chile after dictator Pinochet came to power. And people resisted. People resisted nonviolently. In kind of general strikes or slowdowns, even pot banging out the window.
Yes.
And that led to and gave encouragement to a larger mass movement that ultimately won a plebiscite against the dictator, and the dictator was gone. Dictators don't last forever. But we need to stand up now before Trump takes us even further down the hill.
Well, and I think the reason that you hear such deafening silence from the MAGAverse, which, let's be honest, it feels like it's dominating the Republican Party because it has effectively taken over the Republican Party. But my belief has always been that don't believe the hype. This is actually a small, very much a minority faction. This does not represent at all what mainstream Americans want or are thinking. More people stayed home in the 2024 election cycle than voted for Donald Trump. That ain't a mandate. It ain't even a majority, right? Like, these are the realities. So what we have is an epidemic of disengagement, but I think that's changing. I could say that as of November. But I think people are very much getting engaged. And the reason that you hear silence from Republicans, nearly all of them, with some very little, very too late harumphing from folks like Lisa Murkowski and Ron Paul, et cetera, Rand Paul, excuse me, I'm old enough to remember his dad, is because they're not afraid of Donald Trump, the diaper Don, the alien soon to be octogenarian with a 79th birthday coming up in June. They're not afraid of him. They're afraid of you. They're voters. And they're afraid of the facts that if they tell the truth and say what's actually happening, their voters would riot and be like, wait a minute. Roll the debate tapes. When did Donald Trump tell me that my daughter's toys that I want to buy her for Christmas are going to be way more expensive and I should just smile and say thank you and may I have some more, please? Like I'm freaking Oliver Twist. I mean, well, Matt, do you think that's what's going on? I mean, my read when I look around is I see fear, especially in House congressional Republicans. I see fear of their own voters, fear of answering to their own voters.
And that's why they're hiding from these town halls. They don't want to do the town halls because they know they're going to get an earful and they don't want to get an earful. I mean, that's why Van Orden is just doing them, you know, by remote. And it's easier than facing your constituents, you know, right there in person. And it's very cowardly. Republicans who aren't even in the tank are being cowards. I mean, Van Orden's in the tank for Trump. Tom Tiffany's in the tank. Scott Fitzgerald's in the tank. Scott Fitzgerald also voted in favor of letting Trump deport U.S. citizens. Glenn Grothman also voted to
allow
Trump
to deport
U.S. citizens.
But what's wrong with Glenn? Ooh, much, much.
Poor Glenn. I used to debate him on radio. It's just, and he would pretend to have been, I voted for George McGovern. I used to be a liberal. It's crazy conversation.
Because he's not, I mean, the man is not, does not have a firm grasp here on terra firma planet Earth. Like, he's just operating on some other quotient. Speaking of operating in some alternate universe, oh my gosh, everybody just be very thankful we don't live in Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma is about to issue a new public school curriculum, including a wholesale rewrite of their social studies curriculum. And it includes this. This is literally screenshotted from the Oklahoma Academic Standards for Social Studies. There's like a webpage you can go to. Here's what the new curriculum will include. Identifying discrepancies in 2020 election results by looking at graphs and other information, including the sudden halting of ballot counting in select cities in key battleground states, the security risks of mail-in balloting, sudden batch dumps, an unforeseen record number of voters, and the unprecedented contradiction of, quote, bellwether county trends. Dear God.
Well, they're just peddling one of the conspiracy after another. I mean, the sudden dumping of ballots, this is about the, in Milwaukee and many other towns and cities in Wisconsin, you can't count those absentee ballots until all the other ballots are in and counted. And so, of course, there is a dump late at night. There's nothing evil about it. There's nothing under the table about it. It's how things are done. And yet still every Republican running for office apparently in Wisconsin has seized on that. Trump seized on it. And now the poor students in Oklahoma are going to have to hear about it.
Well, and it's observing that there are large amounts of late night ballots that get counted in large, densely populated counties is about as, nefarious as observing that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's like, that's the way counting ballots works, just like that's the way the earth rotates. I mean, it's a complete nothing burger, but you put the scary music behind it and you call it something and like, ooh, it sounds really scary. Here's what else this new curriculum is going to cost Oklahoma taxpayers: $33 million. That's good. Good fiscal stewardship. No fraud, waste, and abuse there at all, I'm sure. And the chairman of the Oklahoma Senate Education Committee, Adam Pugh, actually recognized, like, this might be a little problematic. And he introduced a resolution that would have sent the curriculum back to the Oklahoma State Board of Education for further review. You know, a reasonable response to some very unreasonable insanity in a school curriculum. And then, of course, the Moms for Liberty in Oklahoma got involved, sent letters to Republican legislators, said the new curriculum is truth-filled, anti-woke, and unapologetically conservative. And then that immediately killed the resolution that would have sent it back to the Board of Ed. I mean, since when do we want our school curriculums to be, quote, unapologetically any partisan viewpoint, Matt?
Yeah, and to say nothing of being accurate, truthful,
fact-based.
On planet Earth.
It is absolutely bananas. If they want to talk about maybe some suspicious voting patterns, should probably look at 2024, not 2020. I mean, my goodness. When we come back, our conversation continues. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we're going to talk about a plan amongst faculty at Big Ten universities to take on Donald Trump collectively with a voice. We discuss next with Matt Rothschild, creator of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked.